Hey, are you ready to move your life? I mean, really move it? It's time to turn up the dial on your energy, your health, your sport performance, your happiness, and your relationships. If you want to live with more freedom, more adventure, more passion, more fun, and more success, if you're ready to get your brain in the game and achieve the most out of every area of your life, then it's time to move to live and live to move with your host, Jill Summers.
Hello, you made it. You're in the right place. If you are ready to dial up your life, this is Jill with Jill M. Summers Performance Coaching, and you are going to love this interview that you're listening to today. This month, our focus is powerful, brilliant, insightful, crazy, active, adventurous, and sometimes a hot mess women. In honor of Mother's Day this month, we are focusing on empowering the she. I am here today with four extraordinary moms: Tina Jones, Kim Timms, Christy Knadler, and Katie Mottola. Between the four of them, they are raising 12 children. Well, not together, but with their husbands. Ages ranging from 17 to...
She's got younger.
Five.
To five, so we have mother insights for all ranges of ages. And my daughter is 24, so I might hop in every now and then and talk about parenting an adult child. In addition to being extraordinary moms, these ladies are the executive staff of Girls on the Run of Greater Milwaukee, which is an empowerment program for girls ages 3rd through 8th grade. The ladies are in the house! Welcome, ladies.
Thank you. I'm so excited
to share our listeners with you, today, as I know that you all have such great insights to share about your experience as being moms, but also being active women, and also making a difference in the world through this organization with Girls on the Run. So, Tina, I'm going to jump in with you. The mom of three, what's one lesson you've learned so far about being a mom?
Wow.
Well, you're just a big nice question, big question
Jill.
For you.
You know, I think one of the biggest lessons is that you need to be nimble as a mother. Things are always changing. There's so many balls up in the air and so many things that are out of your control. And so learning to be nimble, flexible, and really understanding of trying to figure out what everyone's needs are.
And how do you, when you're trying to figure out everybody else's needs, how do you meet your own? I think this is a big question a lot of moms ask, and the issue that they all go through, like, how do I care for myself when I also need to care for, you have three kids,
right?
Teenagers now. How do you do that for yourself?
Well, you know, Jill, I think I've always put 110% into my parenting and my mothering, but I have always had exercise as part of my life and part of really keeping me sane. And so for me, that's good enough. If I can fit a workout short or long into my day, that usually can bring me back to the center and help me get through the next half a day, week, whatever it is.
Yeah, yeah. And how old are your kids?
So I have 14, 15, 17.
So drivers.
Right.
You've got drivers. How's that going?
It's been great.
Yeah?
It was nerve-wracking at first, but then I pretty much just learned to trust. And now my driver is saving me because I don't have to drive her.
Yes. Well, it's kind of a blessing.
Right.
Yeah. Kim, you have three girls.
I do.
And you have drivers in the house as well. How's that going?
It's going great. My oldest is a driver, and she's been driving for about a year. She's 17, just turned 17 in March. She's completely trustworthy, and she's a good driver, and so it's been great also because I don't have to drive her. But I have to say, in the car one-on-one is where you get a lot of stuff. A lot of just impromptu conversations. Nobody else is there. And so I really miss driving her to practice because that's when a lot of just stuff comes out. So now it's, you know, bedtime, and which it always has been. But I do miss that one-on-one time with her. It sort of makes me sad.
It reminds me of a time when my daughter was younger and I used to drive her all over the place. And someone had told me this really great story. If you want to hear more about what the kids are talking about, they said, turn up the speaker in the back seat so they have to talk louder. You can hear them better from the front seat. So you're kind of in on the scoop without them really knowing it.
Yeah, that's funny.
I don't get that anymore because my baby's gone. In fact, my baby yesterday just announced that she bought a car.
Oh.
On her own. She just went in and took care of this on her own. And I'm thinking, how the heck? I won't even go in and buy my own car by myself. And she's 24 doing that. So,
well, good job.
Well, yes, I guess. Right? I know. I'm really proud of her. And there's a saying that says when you've done your mothering well or your parenting well, your kids don't need you. And that's how you know that you've done a good job. But it's sure hard to let go of that and,
absolutely,
you know, not be needed. Christy, you have the youngest kids here in the group.
Oh, we both have five.
They're
both five.
So they're both five. So what is it like for you raising two boys young at this time in the whole cycle of parenting? So you get to hear what it's like raising the young, older kids.
My boys are 5 and 8, and my oldest turned 8 recently, and my little one said, "Hey, Mom, did you know Owen's halfway to driving a car?" I said, "Oh, okay. Well, let's just sit on that for a few years." We're not ready to delve into the drivers yet. But yeah, they're at that great age where they're starting to really become a little independent. You know, we're sort of moving past the toddler and the really little kid stage of just always needing something. And we're kind of moving into the sweet spot, I feel like, where they're coming into their own and they have their own personalities and likes, and you just are becoming people that are just enjoyable to spend time with. And, you know, we just took a trip with them and they were out hiking and, you know, just doing some of the things that my husband and I enjoy. And so it's, I feel like we're moving into kind of a new phase with them of just being little people who like to, you know, get out and share experiences with us and do some of the same things that we enjoy.
So would you say being adventurous like that, they actually like doing new things?
They do like doing new things. They're cautious in their own way, but they do like to do new things. I was having a conversation with them last night about your podcast, which I had listened to, and one of the women had said, "When was the last time you did something new for the first time? Something new that you had never done before?" And it really got me thinking, and I had been kind of thinking it over all day, and we were talking about it at dinner last night, and I asked my boys that question. When is the last time you did something new? I kind of thought about it. My oldest said, "Well, a couple weeks ago we had French toast on Thursday instead of Monday." And he was so genuine about that. Was, you know, that was a game changer for him, because he is a routine kind of guy, and he, you know, we always start the week on Mondays, and I make French toast for them, and that was a big one for him, that we had French toast on Thursday, so that was his new thing.
Let's start small.
Right.
Sally Edwards is the woman who asked that question, when's the last time you did something for the first time or did something new? She'll be happy to hear that you're starting him
young
with
French
toast.
It's a great question, and that was what he thought was a great answer.
Yeah. I love that question, so I'm going to throw that one out to you, Katie. When's the last time you've done something new? Yeah.
That is a great question.
I got you on the spot here.
You did. Totally. I was all prepared for the other
answer. Yeah, right?
I'm kind of stumped.
Have you done a marathon before?
I've never. I mean,
mm-hmm. Well,
all right. Signing up for a marathon that I've completed halves.
Okay.
I'm actually going to complete a half one on Saturday, which I'm looking forward to.
Good luck.
But I've never done a full. And with a little encouragement from girls on a run. No, it was one of those things that was on the bucket list, but next year, the following year. And so it kind of took the plunge of gonna do it this year.
Mm-hmm. So when is that?
October.
So you're doing your first marathon in October, mm-hmm. And where will that be?
Chicago. With all of the people at this table.
Okay. So it's been on your bucket list. Mm-hmm. And because the others are doing it, you decided to hop in on it as well.
Yes.
So would you say that the peer pressure made you do it?
Yes. Yes, I would.
Peer pressure at its best.
Well, yes. Yeah, no. Like, last year was the first year I did a triathlon. That was on my list. It just wasn't on my bucket list for this summer to do or this fall to do a marathon. It would have happened eventually, just not as quick as I thought. And maybe when my kids were a little bit older.
Right.
Because that puts a lot of pressure on my husband when I'm like, I'm going for a run, honey. See you later on a Saturday morning. He has to pick up the slack.
So one of the things I absolutely love about being in groups of people is they make me do more. They make me do more than I would ever do on my own. And that's what I'm hearing from all of you. Are all of you doing this Chicago Marathon?
Yep.
You are. And I heard you say, Katie, that this has something to do with Girls on the Run. Tell me more about that.
So Girls on the Run has what is called a Soulmates program. And so adults can pick an event to do and choose, you know, oftentimes it's a event they have, a running event that they haven't done before. And they raise money for Girls on the Run while they're training. And so we were lucky enough to be able to get into the Chicago Marathon as Girls on the Run Chicago has a charity partnership with Chicago. And so I asked all of my staff at Girls on the Run to see if they would be interested in running
or
Chicago.
Coerced.
Yeah. And, you know, we laugh because yes, there was peer pressure, but nobody had to do it. I definitely, you know, we nicely asked, but I'm just so proud of everybody that they did take a chance and stepped up to do this, knowing that they have extremely busy lives. You know, two, three, four children at home, trying to fit these long runs in on the weekend. It really made me feel so good that they decided to do this, raise families, work for Girls on the Run. And then they're also, part of it, Jill, is with the fundraising part, they're reaching out to their family and friends. And they're talking about Girls on the Run and raising money.
Sounds like a win-win. If somebody wanted to sponsor any one of you and donate to your Soulmates cause, how would they do that?
We each have our own individual fundraising pages.
Okay.
And I believe they could access that through our website.
Great. That's awesome. So Soulmates, as sort of a review, is a way for Girls on the Run to make some money by people just doing what they're doing, like being involved in active organizations, and they can raise money on their own to give to the organization. Is that accurate? Do I have that right?
Yeah, I mean, we have a lot of our Girls on the Run coaches will have different marathons, like Grandma's Marathon or half marathons or 5K events that they want to do, and because they know so much about Girls on the Run and are so passionate about Girls on the Run, they will sign up to be a soulmate, which you can do right through our website, and then choose your own race, and we'll help you create a fundraising page, and really our soulmates committee helps support these runners, walkers, bikers, whatever event they try to do throughout their training.
That's such a cool
pretty awesome
program.
And I want to add that you don't have to be a Girls on the Run staff member or coach. Anybody can be a soulmate for Girls on the Run.
Okay.
You just have to pick an event.
Right.
Not even a running event. It could be a bike race.
So it doesn't have to be the Chicago Marathon. That just happens to be the one that you all are doing together.
Right.
The one Tina talked us into.
The one that...
when I'm running Chicago and I'm really struggling, I'll think of the morning Tina called me. And I had someone at my house sweeping my chimney, and Tina calls, and she said, oh, I have great news. I just got off the phone with Girls on the Run of Chicago, and we can get bibs for the Chicago Marathon. And I said, oh, that's fantastic, because we've been trying to grow our Soulmates program. And she said, you know, I thought I would do it, and Kim would do it, and you would do it. And I said, whoa, wait, why does Tina's great idea have me running a marathon? But here we are, Tina.
Here we are.
Well, I can tell you, I have done Chicago. I have run it, and I have also spectated at it. It is an amazing race. You're going to have the time of your life, I promise.
You remind me that on mile 22.
I will.
I'm guessing I'm not going to be thinking that.
Katie, I will be at mile 22 reminding you with a sign that says, this is the time of your life.
I have the funniest story. Tina and I have done Chicago Marathon previously as Girls on the Run soulmates. And there's 40,000 people and you have to get there early because, you know, you have to get into these waves and you have to be there on time. And so it's cold and we're sitting on like literally the cement, you know, prior to the race. And so our wave is going to go and it takes like a while to get to the front of the wave. So we're like kind of jogging in place and trying to get warmed up. So we start running. And Tina's legs are like frozen. And so she stumbles. And so she starts like falling forward. And she doesn't want to like fall and like put her hands out in front of her and end up like scuffing her palms and her elbows and her knees. So she literally ducks and rolls. So she's like, hands are flailing. And she decides, I'm just going to go with it. And a previous gymnast, she's super nimble. And so she literally ducks and rolls and pops up and keeps on running next to me. And we both just start cracking up, like cracking up at the start of this marathon. There's 40,000 people around us and we're cracking up. And then later in the race, because she's faster than me, like, you know, a couple miles into it, we're like, okay, see ya, have a good race, good luck, we'll see you at the finish line. Both of us, come to find out throughout the race, just start giggling to ourselves, thinking of Tina's duck and roll.
Not a repeat performance here, Tina.
Not a scratch on her.
Talk about being nimble. You did open up this interview with saying you had to be nimble.
Right.
Little did you know, it was in a lot of different areas of your life. That's so great because it reminds me of a recent study that I read about interviewing older people, and they asked them, what gave you the greatest satisfaction in your life? And every single one of them said it's the memories that they created in life. And their greatest area of discomfort was not doing the things that they had wanted to do. So having regrets of not doing adventures and things that made them sort of scared and stepping out of their comfort zone. And those, the memories of the times that they did do that and stepped out of their, they kept feeding them for years and years and years, much like you're saying now, you know, we're still laughing about that experience. And if you hadn't gotten each other to go and do this thing that got you out of your comfort zone, it wouldn't have that impact today. So I'm curious how, and this is open to all of you, how do you feel your athletic endeavors have fueled you to be better moms, better role models for your kids?
I can answer that one very easily. So when I was growing up, my mom talked about, oh, I need to go on a diet. Oh, I need to lose weight. Oh, I need to, my legs need to look better or whatever. I grew up hearing that, and my kids have never heard me say that. Not that I haven't ever thought it, but I talk about with my kids being healthy and confident, and it's more like performance-based, and look what my strong legs have let me do. Tina and I have both, as you have, Jill, done Ironmans and marathons, and my kids see me eating healthy and working out and never, ever, ever talking about body image issues. And I feel like my kids are going to grow up with such a healthier body image, self-confidence, you know, eating for nutrition and performance and to feel good versus, oh, I shouldn't eat that, that's going to make me fat. It's such a different mindset. And like I said, not that I don't ever think it, but I certainly don't say it to my kids. And my kids are all healthy, active athletes, and I really think that they look at me and they think they look up to me, and I am a role model for them with being healthy and active and just being, I mean, they joke about it, but they talk about their badass mom with her muscles, and they joke about my healthy eating, you know, they think it's funny, but it also fuels them. Like, right. You know, they have it in their lives and they see what it means to be healthy. And I think it's just, I wish I would have grown up with that kind of attitude, mm-hmm. versus how, you know, I think so many in our generation grew up with moms who were dieting.
Right. Remember, you know, my mom and the protein shakes or the diet shakes, like all lined up. Mm-hmm. Same thing.
Yeah. And, you know, I think we're really fortunate, actually, because times are changing. It used to be that women, it was all about how we looked and how we could present ourselves for the man, or present ourselves in the world, even around other women, right? And I think that that's still prevalent in today's society. So, actually, I give you a lot of credit for providing that kind of role model for your kids, because there's so much of those other messages going on in the world around us. They need to really get that where it counts, you know, at home and in the heart. But thank goodness we are in a place where it's more about being healthy and being fit and being strong and creating a mindset too, that we're not just something to look at anymore, you know, we're something to actually be reckoned with. My badass mom.
Right.
So you bring up a really good point, Kim, about like the message you got from your mom, and I'm sure she never did that on purpose,
oh, gosh,
right?
Yeah.
It's just the way she lived, right. And the water she was drinking, if mm-hmm. you want to say. If your kids, if you heard the words out of your kid's mouth that you were like, oh, I'm so happy to hear that from them about you, what would those words be?
Oh my gosh.
Right?
I don't, you know, my kids, like I said, they sort of joke about my healthy eating, but for instance, my husband and I were recently in Hawaii, and, you know, I was texting pictures home to the kids who grandma was home watching them, and my oldest daughter texted me, she's like, God, Mom, so there's a picture of four of us, and she was something like, you all are fitter than I am, or something like that. Like, why do you guys look better at 50 than I do at, you know, I mean, it wasn't look better, but she was just,
Complimenting.
Yeah. Like, I mean, there's so many things that you want to hear as a mother, but, you know, I think that my kids really, really are, you know, about health, not how they look. It's being healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, it's such a different mind shift.
It really is.
Yeah.
It really is. Good for you for providing that. And I'm sure that's been a journey for you as well.
And I'll add, one of my daughters is 5'10". I'm 5'5". My other oldest daughter is 5'6". My middle daughter is 5'10". And she's just a different body than the other two. And she has, you know, I'm going to say more my legs, which are, my husband has long, thin legs, and my middle daughter has long legs. She's 5'10", but they're more athletic, you know, like stronger looking. And she was saying something one time about her legs versus your sister's. And I said, and I couldn't believe this came out of my mouth. I said to her, you are so lucky, Jenna, you have my legs. Look what my legs have carried me to do. And it came out of my mouth, and I was like, good job, Mom. Like, you know.
Yeah. It's not always easy to compliment ourselves and, you know, take in our greatness. I'm curious, what would you say is one of your proudest moments in sport?
Well, I mean, I as Kim had referenced, I grew up as a gymnast, and so I had that background, which was very fulfilling to me. It was where I had so many wonderful friends in my gymnastics world, and And then when I moved into college, I still was able to, you know, compete in gymnastics. And I had, again, just that was my social group and my way of staying fit and healthy. But, you know, then moving into my adult life, I was trying to find the right fit. And, you know, Jill, you were instrumental in really helping me bring me into the triathlon world, which again ended up being my social network and so fulfilling to me, and which then took me to doing an Ironman, which I never would have imagined doing without getting in with a group of women, you spearheading it, seeing that you had done an Ironman, and it actually planted the seed that I could potentially do it. And so really, that's my, greatest accomplishment, I think, in sport, is getting to that finish line of the Ironman. I was never a strong swimmer. That was a big challenge for me. Biking wasn't ever a comfort zone for me. I like to run, but the other two were challenges. And so really getting to the finish line was so amazing. And it's something that Kim and I were able to do together and train together. And again, bringing in that whole social side of it, which just keeps you going. Mm-hmm. So best thing I ever did in the sports arena, I think. And
congratulations. That is not an easy feat. And the one thing that I hear from most women is it's not so much about the race day, which of course is challenging, but it's the training time. And especially women who have kids. And Katie, you were talking about even just being able to train for a marathon and how you have to juggle that. So I'm curious, Kim and Tina, how did you juggle your Ironman training with kids at the time and make it work?
Well, we had a coach who was on your podcast last week, Lauren. And we said, we want to train. First of all, neither of us at the time were working for Girls on the Run or otherwise, other than being moms to three kids. But we said, we want to train during the day when the kids are in school, and we don't want to have a big commitment on the weekend. So our coach helped us with that. And so there were times when we literally would start when our kids went to school, and we'd be like hurrying and picking them up, and so it was a lot to juggle, but we figured out our lives that we could do it while our kids were in school. And I think it was, you know, inspirational to our kids, but it didn't, in our case at the time, it didn't really upset our family life outside of training, because we did it when our husbands were at work and our kids were at school.
Mm-hmm. I think that's such a great message, because it's easy to say, oh, I can't because fill in the blank. And especially when we hear others around us say, I can't because my kids are little, or I have to be available for them 100% of the time. One of the things that I've seen with the people around me and some of my clients is they end up giving so much that they actually lose themselves. And they actually become people that they don't really like. And so a message that I guess I would want to share with women out there is to love yourself and be available for yourself as much as you do your kids and your husband and your family and the things that are important to you. But keeping yourself at the forefront is just as important.
I think it's important for our kids to see us putting ourselves first sometimes. Because as moms, we do put everyone else's needs ahead of ours most of the time. And I think it's important for the kids to see that, you know, I'm going to work out at home, and I'm going to work out for a half an hour, and I'm going to do a DVD, and this is my time. And there's been times when my kids were younger, and I've got a two-year-old crying, sobbing next to me because he wants something. And I'm like, you know what? I have 10 more minutes and then I'm going to help you. And as they're getting older, they know, like, if this is my exercise time, you know, this weekend I was working out and my 5-year-old comes down. He's like, oh, Mom, can I do that with you? I'm great at press-ups. Let me do some of those. And so, you know, he gets down and then he's like, huh, I I'll just watch you. So he sprawls out and watches me work out. But, you know, I think it's important for them to see us as moms putting ourselves first some of the time. And just kind of letting, not feeling guilty for that. Like, there's nothing to feel guilty about for taking a little time for yourself, because it makes me a better person and a better mom and a better wife when I've had a little time, you know, just to kind of fill my own cup of things that I need to, you know, to take care of others.
Yeah. I think that's such a great message. It kind of reminds me a little bit of a quote that Tina Fey says. She says, "Being a mom has made me so tired and so happy." Yeah. Katie, what's something that you love about being a mom that makes you so happy?
I love seeing the little pieces of my kids from me. Like little things they say, little things they do, the confidence or the politeness, because that's one thing that's important to me, and that they know to say please and thank you, and just watching them be their own little person, but yet they can see pieces of me and pieces of my husband to kind of take them through the world in a good place. And it's so funny to watch them be like on the sports, like on the soccer field, knowing that like one of my daughters is so determined. And that was me as a kid. Like, nothing was going to stop me. I'm going through that person. I don't care if they're in my way. And so it's kind of cool to see that in your kids, to be like... And then the other daughter is extremely shy and reserved, which is also me in new settings. So it's kind of little pieces that you're like, oh, yeah, I know how to help you with that, too. Yeah. To kind of decipher through the world of confidence and making sure they can do whatever they want.
Yeah. That's so cool. So you're seeing like mirror images of pieces of yourself.
And it could be just me knowing how I felt as a kid, being sure. Like, oh, that's that right there. But
yeah,
kind of helping them through the world where I wish someone would have done for me, saying, you know what? Yes, you can do that. Don't let someone stop you.
Yeah.
Shoot for the moon.
So I'm going to challenge you a little bit and flip it. Now think about your mom. What traits did you get from your mom that you're most proud of?
I thought you were going to go the other way.
And happy for.
My mom was raised on a farm, and she was, I would say, poverty growing up, and there was seven of them. And it was from, they had no education, whatever. My mom has a master's, and she worked extremely hard. And you can do, again, you can do whatever you want. And she was a working mom because that's what she wanted to do. And she kind of instilled that to me, being like, you can do whichever path you want. You just have to decide what you want and go for it.
It reminds me of there's a Native American parable that talks about different kinds of moms. And they have two categories, if you will. One that says there are rainbow moms and there are earth moms. And rainbow moms are the moms that are here to, you know, do stuff out in the world. And if they have kids, they have kids. And earth moms are here to have kids. Like, their role is to raise kids, and that's a big part of their life. And if they do other stuff out in the world, then they do. But there are different priorities. And what it says in this parable is how important it is to know which one you are. That there isn't necessarily one that's right and one that's wrong. Unfortunately, I think there are these camps kind of in society now. They're like, you need to be a stay-at-home mom. You need to be out and work. You need to be a stay-at-home mom. And then this sort of backlashing at one another because you're not doing one or the other. But in this parable, it just says neither is right or wrong. What's the most right is the one that fits you the most. So would you say that you're more of a rainbow mom or an earth mom?
I've been a full-time mom, a full-time working mom. I've been a part-time working mom. I've been a stay-at-home mom. And I would say I'm more of the earth mom, where my kids are number one. Mm-hmm. And like, not that a working mom's not. If I could wave my magic wand, I would be a part-time working mom like I am right now. Mm. I've done in all the different camps.
So the wand has been waved.
It has.
You have gotten it.
I have gotten it. It was a struggle. It still is the mom guilt of when I'm at work, I should be volunteering at my child's school, and I don't have time to do that. But then also, like, when it comes down to balancing the budget at the end of the month, if I worked full time, that would be a lot easier to balance than, because now that I have all school age children. Mm-hmm. So
how about you, Kim?
I always knew I wanted kids, But I always thought I would be a career-oriented woman. And then I had kids, and I worked full-time after my first kid, part-time after my second kid, and I could not wait to have my third child because I knew once I had her that I was going to be a stay-at-home mom, and I could not wait to be a stay-at-home mom. So what I've learned is I am 100% an earth mom. My kids definitely come first. I had to work when my kids were little, but I definitely would have preferred not to. And then I was a stay-at-home mom for the rest of my kids' young life. And it's only been since my kids are older and in school full-time that I've come back around to working part-time, but only I love Girls on the Run, but the way it works for me is that it is on my own time. And I can be flexible around my kids' schedule because absolutely I am an earth mom and that comes first.
What about you, Tina?
So I, just as you guys are talking, I don't know if I like completely agree with the parable. Because in some ways, I think that what our society has done in the sense of pigeonholing women into either you work full-time and then basically saying you're not as good a mom. I mean, because I'm kind of hearing like a little bit of that, which we know may not be, is not necessarily the case. Or you stay at home full time. I mean, for me, I absolutely love being with my kids. But, and I feel so blessed that I was able to be home when they were little babies and, you know, I didn't have to chuck them off to daycare and all of that. But as I got into the working world, I actually am feeling like I'm a better mom. And it does take a lot more juggling. I'm at a different stage, though, too. My kids are teenagers, and there's different needs, for sure. But there's definitely fulfillment from working. And like Chrissy was saying, you know, filling your cup with its exercise and work or whatever. I mean, there's definitely that whole piece. So I don't know, Jill. I feel like I'm a combination. Really, can't you be both?
Sure.
You know?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think you can. And I also think that you made a really good point is it can be dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
It can change throughout your lifespan, throughout your parenting span, based on what's going on, you know, in your world and what it allows you to be able to do.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Christy, how about for you?
Before my kids were born, I was a teacher, so I spent 10 years teaching preschoolers, basically, with special needs, and I loved spending my day with other people's kids. And then once I had my own kid, I decided that I just wanted to spend my day with him. So I feel really blessed that I was able to stay home full time when he was a baby. And when my second was born, he was about a year, and I was just really feeling like I have to do something out of the house for myself. And so my husband was very encouraging to me, take a class, volunteer, you know, we'll make it work, whatever it is you want to do. And I'd heard of Girls on the Run over the years, from magazines and things, and I thought, I'm going to look into it. And so they happened to be having a coach recruitment event like the next week. So I went and I met Kim and Tina at the event and I thought, I'm going to do this. I'm going to volunteer. So I volunteered as a coach and it was just that little bit of getting out of the house and doing something that I felt good about, that I was giving to other people other than just my family. And that just led into me working for Girls on the Run. And it's just been a good fit that I think allows me to be really present with my kids, but also, you know, I love having something that I can devote my time and energy to, and I get excited about, you know, taking on new things within Girls on the Run and just watching the growth that we've had. So I think it's been a really good mix for me of being a part of something that I really believe in and making a doing something good in the world and being able to be home and be with my kids.
Mm-hmm. So switching the topic a little bit, thank you for exploring that. Often, I find this with both men and women, that we have a challenge sharing and admitting our vulnerability. When we have down days, we think we got to get our shit together and you know, hide that we're maybe not feeling the best emotionally or mentally or whatever that might be, and especially when we have a lot going on and we have to be the bee for the kids, right, for the family. I think oftentimes that sets this note or this tone that we got it all together. And women might look at other women, or they might even be listening to you today on this podcast, like, oh, they've got all their stuff together, and they must be perfect. And I want to share that, of course, none of us are perfect. You know, we're the most perfect when we're imperfect. And there's this authentic knowing inside that everybody has ups and downs in life. So I'm curious, on a scale of 1 to 10, how good would you say you are at being transparent in showing and admitting that you have those down periods, those times when life feels like a struggle? And if 1 is that you're not very good at it and 10 is you're really, really good at it, where are you on that continuum?
I think for me it depends on the setting. I mean, maybe I would put myself at a 7. I think the key for me is I feel like I have a group of friends who are all moms and a really diverse group. We have people who stay home full-time, people who work part-time, people who work full-time and would never want to stay home, and it's just a good mix. And I think that what I love about this group of friends is that everyone is really honest, and it's okay for them to say, I work full-time and I love it. And I would never want to be a stay-home mom. I couldn't do it. Kudos to you, I don't want to do it. And then on the flip side, people who stay home full-time, and there's no judgment. And that I think all of our kids are the same age, and so it's really easy to relate and admit to the struggles that we all have, and it's just without judgment. And I think that having that group of friends who are all kind of like you're in the trenches together, and you know, especially when the kids were younger and you're all kind of dealing with potty training and all, you know, just those early things you go through as a parent, and having a group of people who can all be really open, admit that, geez, today sucked. Today was a terrible day. And there's something really satisfying, I think, about having friends where you can feel, you know, you're not being judged by admitting that, mm-hmm. that things are not always great and things are hard.
Mm-hmm. I'm horrible at telling people when I need help or saying when I'm overwhelmed or... So I'm the opposite. I mean, I have my core friends that they know, like, we call them, I have different tier friends. Like, if I have to empty my sink and make sure my house is spotless, then you're not in that category. But if there's a couple dishes, you're in the category where I can be myself.
That's a great measurement. I love it.
If I'm cleaning my house spotless for you and, like, dusting it, no. But, like, to the normal acquaintances that, like, our kids are friends and we hang out occasionally, I don't show my vulnerability okay. because it's kind of one of those, I want people to see like, oh, I've got it together. And then my husband knows the truth. And, you know, like, it's like, oh my God, today was exhausting. The kids are exhausting. And I just feel, I don't want to be judged to be like, I don't have it together. Or
what do you do on those days when, like, what do you do to fill yourself up, especially when you're in those low periods?
Exercise for 1.
Okay.
And usually it's finding something that my husband knows that there's sometimes that mom just needs mom time, where he's like, you should go out with your friends tonight. Go get a glass of wine. Go enjoy. Have some time. I got the kids covered. So it's kind of, it's really helpful to have someone in my corner like that to know. And I'm that way with him too, being like, all right, you've done this for so many days, why don't you go and have some fun tonight, go golfing or whatever, and I've got the kids. So kind of, again, filling my own cup yeah. and doing things for me. But then at the end of the day, you still have that list of, okay, I gotta do da 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 da. The kids need to do this, I have to sign up for this, I have to. And sometimes it's hard. And at the end of the day, you're like, and I'm going to bed. And it'll be there tomorrow.
Right. So one of the things I heard you all say that was so important was having this connection with one another. And you all work together with Girls on the Run, and you have made a tremendous impact on the organization over the years. I'm curious, what works for you? Like, what helps you be such a great team? What's the fuel behind that? Because let's face it, not all women work well together. You know, not all men work well together, not all men and women work well together, but there are, I think, very specific details with each one of those groups. What would you say works for all of you?
I think Tina said it best yesterday. We had a meeting, and we were talking about numbers and budgets and stuff, and we were talking about, like, new staff or no new staff and all that, and she said, let's be frank, but no judgment on anything. And I think that's one thing with working together, is there's no judgment with each other at all. Like, there are some days somebody might work 8 hours, but there's some days that, okay, I have to work 8 hours on Friday because today I need to focus on my kids. And so kind of without taking people who they are, these are your faults, these are your extreme strengths and where we can work with, and we pick up on what each other needs for help, and we all just are willing, I think, to do whatever it needs to do to be done. I mean, like, all right, today we got to get this done, and we all just kind of jump in and do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the judgment thing is big. I mean, I feel like that in our staffing, in our our board, our organization in general, we really try to we want people to be comfortable in putting out new ideas. I mean, that's really been the part of the reason that when we've been able to grow as quickly as we had and had so much success is that we're constantly putting out new ideas, and people feel comfortable with that, even though it might not be something that we go with. Just that constant idea generation and creativity is flowing, and we, you know, really collaborate well together. We laugh a lot. That's so important. You know, I think we listen to, there's a time for listening to what's going on in our personal lives, but then there's a time to get together and get working and get the job done. So, no judgment area, trusting each other, a sense of fun.
I think what's really cool too is we never said or had to, like, you know, like the classroom contract, we won't judge each other. Mm-hmm. You know, we never had to, like, be like, okay, this is how it works here. It's just, we're obviously very different people, but we all sort of want the same things. We're here to help the girls. We're here because this job is flexible and that's what we need in our lives. We're here because we're friends or have become friends, and we love being together and working together. And it is really, really neat how we... It just works for us, and we don't have any big personality conflicts or I think it's kind of grown organically that way, you know. I think we're just a good group of, just clicks.
It does just work. We were talking about this yesterday, that yeah. When we first started working together, we kind of made a list, okay, these are the things I'm going to kind of do, and these are the things that you're going to kind of do, and then we both said, do we ever look at that list after we made it? That it just, yeah, we just kind of know, like, I'll take care of this and you take care of this. And I love and appreciate that there's always a sense, like, if you are feeling overwhelmed, if you need help with something, there's always someone to help you. You know, even though we kind of all have our role, you know, if something doesn't work or I can't be there for something, there's a real sense of teamwork where, you know, I've got your back on this and I'll help you take care of it. So it's never that pressure of, oh my gosh, I've been over my head or that sort of thing, which is just such a satisfying way to work.
Right. And what a great model. And what you said, Kim, is really interesting. It's like you just created this model without sitting down and having a meeting about what's the model going to be.
Right. Well, and you know, Jill, one, Girls on the Run has so many great core values, but one that I reference often is that to assume positive intent. Hmm. And that truly is at the core of our organization, and I think in the core of our staffing and our board and our volunteers, is you have to assume positive intent first, and that goes with the judgment-free zone. Mm-hmm.
If people want to find out more about Girls on the Run, Greater Milwaukee, how can they do that?
They should start with going to our website. It's a fantastic website at www.gotr-milwaukee.org.
Okay, and is Girls on the Run just a local organization?
No, we serve actually 5 counties. So we serve Milwaukee County, Ozaukee, Washington, Waukesha, and now we've just started serving Racine County.
And is it only in Wisconsin then?
And so we are part of a larger Girls on the Run International, and we have over 200 councils across the nation that just served their 1 millionth girl.
Wow, so they're making a difference in a really big way by having all of these different councils, and you're doing that locally here in the Milwaukee area.
Right.
Fantastic. There's something that really struck me, and as an observer, I've been able to see sort of the passion and the drive and the connection with the girls and the organization, and I can't help but recognize, especially after hearing you all talk today, how that does come from the top. And how you're accomplishing it up here. I liken it to like a shower head, you know, the water starts up here and then it sprinkles down, and as it comes down, it gets wider, right? So, but that starts with all of you and how you've created this model just authentically and from a really real place. So thank you, ladies, for that.
Yeah, and I mean, again, if you look at the very top, I mean, it's this amazing organization, too, mm-hmm. that has set these core values that we've all been drawn into, mm-hmm. and so we have to appreciate that fact that this organization has really done an amazing job.
So it's time to go into a little bit of a love fest as we're starting to wrap up the podcast. This is our last piece of our conversation today. But I'd like to go around the room and have each of you share some kind of appreciation you have for one another. It could be something you just really appreciate about that person or something about that person that inspires you. Huh. Ready, go.
I'll go first. So Kim and Tina and I were the 3 staff for quite a while, and then last year we hired Katie, and we had our interviews, and Katie came in, and she really impressed us. And it was talking about, you know, what she had done in previous jobs, and she left, and I looked at Kim and Tina, and I said, man, if we hire her, we're going to have to step it up. Because she really had it together, and I was like, wow, huh. And she sort of inspired me to just, you know, get a little more organized and just step it up. But I remember when you walked out of the interview and I thought, wow, we're going to have to really...
I fooled all of you.
Not true.
I can go next. One thing that somebody asked me why I liked working for Girls on the Run, and I have to say this is the most positive place I've ever worked. You always have those Debbie Downers at work where you're like, I don't want to hear you complain again today about your job, about anything else. I mean, we all have our little quirks where like, I had a rough day or whatever. But like, Tina like throws out positivity nonstop of like just wanting you to do your best and just all of you. Like, it's just really a really great place to be, where coming to staff meetings, you don't leave and I don't feel deflated ever, where I'm like, ah. And it's just a really great thing that I'm really proud to work for Girls on the Run.
Yeah, let's see. So let's share some love. So I, I do love working with everyone here and, you know, our work life, and I feel our personal life kind of intertwines at times, and, you know, now we're going to be all running the marathon together. So that's going to be a great day, and we'll have plenty of time to chat there too. But you know, Christy always keeps me laughing. She brings such a great sense of humor to the group, and as well as does an amazing job for Girls on the Run. And Katie has been such a nice addition to the team and really does keep me on my toes and keeps me organized, and that's exactly what I needed. And Kim has been my rock since I started with Girls on the Run. She has always been a can-do person and has helped me believe in myself that I could do. And so the organization wouldn't be where it is today without her can-do attitude.
Thanks. and I, you know, we were just speaking about this, that I am definitely the can-do person. I'm the person who, like, nitty-gritty gets it done. But without Tina's unbelievable dedication and big picture thinking, and Christy is the same way about, you know, more big picture, and I think Katie, you and I are maybe a little more like
get it done.
But which I love, because we all do get it done. But Christy and Tina have such a gift that I do not have, of the big picture thinking and how and why. And you know, Christy is like that, and Tina is just so good at what she does and such an unbelievable leader for our Southeastern Wisconsin organization. And you know, she's always thinking about Girls on the Run, and she's always putting herself out there and meeting new people, and it's just always churning. And we really couldn't be more, you know, luckier to have somebody, you know what I'm trying to say. She's just, we couldn't do it without
her. I'm feeling the love.
But on that same token, we have a really, really good board too. Like, yeah. To when we go to the board meetings, they have our back, they want to see what we have to say, and they all have their strengths, and it's just so nice to be like, I have a question, I feel comfortable with the board asking them, and their dedication and support too, to be knowing that they want what's best for our organization, and they work well together. And it's really, I've been with a lot of different nonprofits where the boards do not work like our board does. And so we're lucky to have each one of our board members and their little special gifts.
That's so great, because we all bring such different gifts to the table, right? And different skills. And it's, we really are more because we come together. I think that's one of the messages that I'm learning more and more the older I get, is that I'm always better when I'm working with other people. It doesn't matter if it's in a workout and people are inspiring me to do marathons and triathlons or doing more than I thought that I could, or if it's in the work environment, or if it's in my social environment too. I'm always better because I'm with others. And I do think that, you know, we sometimes get so isolated, and that's when we feel like we're not our best. We've gone a lot of different places with our interview today, which has actually been really fun. We talked about our motherhood and our ability to care for ourselves as well, and also the strength that we get from one another. So I just want to thank all of you for being a part of this today. Happy Mother's Day. It's
yes,
coming
you
up.
Too.
Thank you. And in a couple of days. And I just want to share something with you. I have a gift for each of you. And it's actually provided today by the podcast sponsor. Her name is Pam Sable, and she's an artist locally here. These are individual bracelets that are made from her heart, and they're each unique, just like all of you. So I'm
aww,
super excited to
you.
Give them to you. And I want all of the listeners to know that if you're interested in these bracelets, you can go to Etsy and look at Pam Sable, finding it here, making sure that I say the right thing. You could also, it's Sable Jewelry Design on Etsy.com, or you can stop by her salon, which is called Joy, so fitting, on Brady Street. I'll also have the link on the website, so you can go there. I'm also going to provide the Girls on the Run link on the website, so you can find it on there and find out more about this incredible program that provides a wonderful vessel for women to come together and work together, but also empower our children, our girls, too, so they're growing up in a strong, supportive environment.
Jill, so, can I put a plug in for Girls on the Run 5K?
Yes, please do.
Yeah, so we have our 5K coming up Sunday, June 4th at Bayshore Town Center. It is the culmination of the 10-week program, so we have over 800 girls that will be at the event along with their running buddies. So they'll be running, walking, or skipping across the finish line of a 5K. And we would love runners to join us. We also need over 150 volunteers to run this event. And so there's volunteer opportunities on our website, and you can also register.
Oh, that's so fantastic. And I want you all to know, I've been to these 5Ks, and they are incredibly exciting because you see people, you see these girls finish a 5K, and they never thought they could. And you see their families get involved. It's really, I don't think I've been to one of these 5Ks without having a tear in my eye and being so excited about what they've accomplished. Thank you for saying that. So June 1st, Sunday, June 4th.
Yep.
Thank you. So as we wrap things up today, I want to just share a quote with you all from Mother Teresa. She says that love begins at home, and it's not how much we do, but how much love we put into that action. So keeping that in mind, today consider putting just 10% more love into what you do, whether your home is in the home, or it's at work, or it's getting groceries, or driving your car. And you know, if you've got it in you today, maybe you get 50% more instead of 10%, or 100% more, why not? This isn't about being perfect, it's about being real. So fill yourself up first. It's not selfish, it is self-full. And when you do that, you have more light to share with the people in your world, your children, your family, and your friends. And that, my dear, is exactly what we need more of. This is Jill with Jill M. Summers Performance Coaching. Thank you, ladies, for being here today. I'm so grateful for you, and I'm grateful for the listeners today as well. See you on the next podcast.
Thanks for being with us today. We invite you to join us on our mission to move people forward and upward. Go to jillmsummers.com. That's jillmsummers.com for more information and to listen to other inspiring podcasts. And remember to do one thing today that moves your life forward, which impacts others around you to do the same.